What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code PODCAST20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's PODCAST20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, you picked the right place to be at the right time. We are here on Sports Grid. It's the early line on a Friday. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, with a lot to get to. DRS, Thursday Night Football in our back pocket. How you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good for today. I'm excited about this weekend's games, college football Saturday, obviously, and also a big NFL Sunday. Followed up, Kevin, by the time we hit the air on Monday, a doubleheader. Yeah, it's going to be a football weekend, and I can't wait for it.
No doubt about it. But last night, we had Thursday Night Football, an AFC West head-to-head. Once again, we had one in week number one. That was won by the Chargers here in week two, featuring the Chargers, but won by the Kansas City Chiefs, 27-24, your final score. The Chargers covering the number, this game going under the listed total. In the third quarter, we did see a 17-7 lead for the Los Angeles Chargers, but KC battled back and really boosted by a 99-yard pick six for Jalen Watson that goes the distance, put the Kansas City Chiefs up by seven, and they never looked back as the Chiefs, Donnie, moved to 2-0.
Yeah, no, it was actually an interesting game to watch overall because we were expecting probably a little bit more fireworks to start that game as a 3-0 first quarter, but we certainly got that in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter with 20 total points scored. And I think the one play of the game that changed everything we could agree upon, the 99-yard interception return. You punch a touchdown in there for the Chargers, you're probably going to end up winning this football game, but there was a lot of excuses that you could make out there. Ah, sloppy early season, we didn't have Keenan Allen, I get it, but when you're up double digits against an opponent on the road, you got to be able to close that scenario out. Patrick Mahomes finishes with a passer rating of above 100. So does Justin Herbert. Two of the elite quarterbacks going head-to-head. Kansas City wins, but congratulations. If you said, boy, if I'm getting any more than 3.5 points here, late door, that back door will still be open for the game. It really was, and they got the job done. So could have cashed a ticket there with the Chargers.
The thing is, that cover was quite miraculous. If you watch this game all the way through, you'll have seen Justin Herbert sacked. Injured rib on the play is the anticipation. Leave the game. Chase Daniel checked in quickly, handed it off to Sony Michel, and Herbert was back in this game. And everything that played out from then on painted Justin Herbert as one of the most valuable players in the NFL, one of the toughest players in the NFL, and one of the most clueless coaching staffs you will ever find. People think I'm making this stuff up. Brandon Staley will be fired at the end of this season, I promise you, if this is the rate that we're going to play at. Justin Herbert, likely with a broken rib, would not be surprised if he does not play next week for the Los Angeles Chargers, was out there, could not move a lick, wincing on every single throw that he made, Donnie. And on a 3rd-and-1 with 10 yards of open field in front of him, right in front of him, he threw the ball in the dirt. couldn't move anymore with the rib. Now, because Justin Herbert is a dog, he went out there on the next play and threw a 25-yard dot and put them inside the 10-yard line. Again, Justin Herbert is phenomenal. But the fact that Herbert was left in that football game, are they clueless? Truly. Do Brandon Staley and Joe Lombardi actively watch these games? It was actually pretty impressive as well. Last year, known as the go-for-it gang, they don't go for it anymore. They coach scared now, nervous. I guess they don't want to be bullied on Twitter. Not going to save you here on this show as the radio audience is live with the early line on SiriusXM channel 159. This Chargers coaching staff, I'm telling you, DRS, it's bad. You know, the pick six, you talk about the play that turned the game. Before that, it was a 26-yard catch and run for Gerald Everett, who then is tapping the helmet, begging, get me off the field. They go, you're good, man. You're good. Keep it running. He can hardly breathe. Runs a half-ass route. So he's picked, right? Because he's not aggressive to the football. This was embarrassing. The Chargers probably should have won this football game, Donnie. But they didn't, because the gap between Andy Reid and Brandon Staley is as big as it gets.
Yeah, and also, you saw some interesting calls by both sides there. You're right, Brandon Staley, we're going to go for it all the time. We're going to be aggressive, which was the reasoning behind yesterday. If you like the over, it's very good when guys go for it on fourth down, particularly around midfield. You saw some punts from midfield. Also, we did see an Andy Reid bungle of timeouts at the end of the half where the Chargers clearly were punting, and Andy said, hey, you know, I got three timeouts, burn that 40 seconds, and we'll take this bad boy into the half. But boy wonder, as you like to say, Brandon Staley, I went right to the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Kevin, to see if I could actually bring up some odds on coach of the year, because the analytic fanboys on Twitter, they had a tough night tossing and turning, crying themselves to sleep as their hailing hero seems to be disappointing them all over the field. It is interesting that one guy that's built on, let me make the correct analytical moves, because those bots all over Twitter will tell you, fourth and two, you increase your percentage, 2.2% of winning this game if you go for it. He was on the wrong end of that all night long, which is interesting. What changed in the offseason? I understand, Kevin, when you're a head coach, sometimes you do have to go from feel, but it's very interesting. Your feel last year was, I go for it all the time. That's what my football team likes to. Hey, you know what? Let's get real cautious in this game because I actually think we can win this with a good defense. It was real odd to watch.
The thing is, and we are, you know, he was conservative in spots. It wasn't where it was a 2-point flip percentage, right? I mean, the fourth and two punt to open the game. But here's the thing, to be honest with you, Andy Reid was just as bad. As conservative as you'll ever see. Andy Reid, the game still landed at 51. Pat Mahomes still made enough plays, even though this was far from Mahomes' best game. Couple of should have been interceptions, but still enough for the Chiefs to move to 2-0 on the season. We've got a lot of football to get to. You keep it here. It's the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on SportsGrid with a ton of action to break down, so let's waste no time. I want to stick with the two games that feature the rest of the AFC West. This is obviously featured in a major way last night. And the Denver Broncos have a very important game against the Houston Texans, a Texans group that were above a touchdown dog in week number one and nearly won outright. They didn't lose. They tied against the Indianapolis Colts. Well, they are an even bigger dog this week, going to Denver, catching 9.5 points. The total for this one is 45.5 as Russell Wilson makes his Denver debut in Denver, of course. When you see this line, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, my takeaway here is, you know, I told you earlier in the week I was circling this game for the Denver Broncos. Now, you know me. I'm a little bit higher than most people here on the Houston Texans outlook for 2022. If you had a team total, it stinks because opening week, you should have won that game. You didn't actually lose it, but a tie doesn't go towards your team total. You don't get credit for like a half of a win at that point here. But looking at this game overall, I'm interested to see where this line ends up on Sunday afternoon, because that 9.5 always sticks in your mind. Like, hey, double-digit win, you cash in this ticket. If not, game ends up at 10, you might get a push. But I do expect, Kevin, the Denver Broncos to absolutely dismantle the Houston Texans in that elevation in Denver. Warmer weather here. You got a nice game. I understand nobody's going to be taking the Houston Texans lightly, particularly for a football team that came out and should have hammered the Seattle Seahawks, Kevin. not being able to do that, talking about Denver moving the football up and down the field, basically a 2-1 advantage in yards over Seattle and losing that football game. I don't think those turnovers are going to rear its ugly head on Sunday. And I think the Denver Broncos dismantle the Texans by double digits.
It's a big-time spread to be laying early in the season. There's a couple of others that fit this description. Yeah. We'll get to those in time. The world where the Texans are down by 14 with the football potentially going in is conceivable. We saw this last night. Again, the Chiefs up by 10, late touchdown for the Chargers. That did not matter in the game at all. And the Chargers were able to cover that number. And I worry a little bit for me about the idea of, well, Denver can't allow that to happen again. We don't know that yet. We have to find out if that's true, right? A lot of decisions were bad by Nathaniel Hackett. Again, a lot of people said that I was overreacting about the whole fire Nathaniel Hackett thing. And I'm aware they were never going to fire him after one game. But if any of you paid attention to what he said since the game, basically, yes, I got everything wrong, especially the decision to kick the field goal with Brandon McManus. So I think he knows the pressure's on, and he's probably going to be very aggressive here in this game against the Texans. And I do think the Broncos are significantly more talented. Justin Simmons, though, goes to IR. We'll see how that factors in. And I don't think we should write off that the Texans did hang the entire way and led, you know, for more of the game than they trailed against the Indianapolis Colts ultimately there. So I want to give the Texans that credit. I think it's a little early to be laying a number like that. In terms of props, I will say it's a very tricky game for me on the Denver side. I don't think, for me, Diaris, I don't know if you land differently, I did not learn enough about their approach as it pertains to Courtland Sutton versus Jerry Jeudy, Melvin Gordon up against potentially Javonte Williams. The yardage total for Russell Wilson was fantastic. Does that carry over? I still have a lot of questions about how we're going to back the Denver offense on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it is, and it's early, and it's also a new regime in there with a new quarterback, so you're rightfully to be a little bit cautious entering into a game saying, hey, I'm going to lay all my chips on this one wide receiver, this one running back, and as you're going to see in the pick six that we do at the end of every show here on Fridays, I'm going to try to pick on that, Kevin, because there's two running backs in this game. Not going to mention the names. One is a minus money favorite to score a touchdown. One is a plus money dog to score a touchdown. And I went with the plus money dog trying to capitalize on what I saw a little bit last week, fumble in the red zone. You know, maybe that doesn't work in the younger back's favor, but I think you're right. It's a 50-50 split right now, it seems like, and who's going to be able to determine who's going to get those carries? Maybe we need from Nathaniel Hackett a couple games to say, all right, this is the lead back. This is where you fit in, and here's where we go moving forward. So right now, I'm just free rolling with plus money to try to find my way on that Denver Broncos offense.
To keep with the AFC West, Denver's the third choice. The Chargers still in front of them despite their loss. The Chiefs have flipped now to a minus money favorite, by the way. Minus 105 in the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the division. I think that's earned. That's not surprising to me at all. But the last choice, the Vegas Raiders, 10-1. And I also have no issue with that. Again, I think the Vegas Raiders were really talked about very kindly by a lot of people. I understand there's talent on the roster. They're bringing Davante Adams. I understand all that. Someone had to finish worst in this division, but look at how strongly they're booked versus the Arizona Cardinals. A 5.5-point favorite against an Arizona team that obviously was excellent for a lot of last season, but they were embarrassed in their home opener versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Another high total for a Cardinal game at 51.5. On the Arizona Cardinals last year, 8-1 straight up on the road. I think the Cardinals are being a little too disrespected on this line. I think they're live in this football game, and I would personally be looking to take the 5.5 points here on the road versus the Vegas Raiders for the Cardinals.
Yep, this is why week two gets so interesting and so tough. Now, some of us, like myself, I like pain. So what I'll do is I'll say, well, who played really bad, you know, opening weekend here where nobody's going to want to touch them with a 10-foot pole entering into week two? When the Arizona Cardinals square up right there as one of those teams where he said, my goodness, I mean, their offense looked terrible. Their defense looked even worse. You know, they're still injured at wide receiver, maybe even got injured a little bit more in that football game. So what do you like with them going on the road to take on the Vegas Raiders? You're going to have a nice home field advantage for the Vegas Raiders. You know, the Arizona Cardinals, maybe it's not a long travel distance between the two teams. One team's a dome team, so is the other team. So that sort of keeps you in that familiarity. But if we're looking at that 51.5, you would figure the Arizona Cardinals would get on track. But it's one of those games, Kevin, which again, why I bring up week two is so tough. Like, you find yourself saying, okay, let me play contrarian here. I don't think the Cardinals were as bad as they were, and the Raiders certainly aren't going to light the world on fire, lost opening day to the Chargers. But if we're trying to line this up and say what makes some sense, it's almost like I don't want to do this to myself, and meaning take the Arizona Cardinals and go, Donnie, what were you thinking, man? You watched them opening week. They could barely move the football, were terrible in defense, and here the Vegas Raiders have 35 points up late in the third quarter. That's about what you would expect. But that's not the way it goes in the NFL. You're not as bad as you were week one. You're not as good as you were week one. It's up to the coaching staff to make those adjustments. But again, if you're looking towards the Cardinals, where I think you might be, I don't know if I can get in that boat just yet. I really don't. I need to see something out of this team. And as I told you before, for me, the Cardinals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first 5 weeks, I'm not so sure about. But wait till they get that full ammunition on offense, Kevin, and I'll probably jump in that boat a little bit for some team totals.
I understand what you're saying. Look, they're... the best offensive performance in week number one belonged to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Cardinals finishing at 21 is a little bit misleading. The game was 37-7 before Arizona was ultimately able to score their second touchdown of the game. Those came on two of their final three drives with 14 fourth quarter points. Again, the game was completely wrapped up at that point in time. I think they could, though, potentially carry a little bit of the momentum. And I just was... look, I understand. It's like, the Raiders were almost there despite the fact that Derek Carr threw three interceptions. He still threw three interceptions. Bad picks. And I think their defense, for me, left a little bit to be desired in the game. I thought that Justin Herbert, again, moved the ball with ease, really. And again, because the Chargers coaching staff is horrific, you know, Joe Lombardi said, I was far too conservative in the game. If Arizona can correct that mistake a little bit and continue to apply pressure, I think they'll be able to match any of the Vegas output there. Tell me, as far as quickly, this total at 51.5, Arizona last week did play a bang over, but it didn't have much to do with their offense. Any quick thoughts on this total?
I mean, it really feels, obviously, we're not going to be worried about weather there. It's in a dome, two dome teams early in the season. You know I'm going to be leaning towards the over. And just last week alone, Arizona Cardinals gave up 488 yards on defense. Yeah. How about the Vegas Raiders? They gave up 355 yards on defense. So neither defense is really rising to the occasion. Let's see if we get some up-tempo here from Cliff Kingsbury to push that over.
Yeah, same exact lean as well. If I think Arizona can win this game, I don't think they're going to do it 21-17. I think they're going to have to get moving on the offensive side of the ball. All right, quick break. We come back. A lot of big favorites, as we said. We'll talk about those next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big-time favorites in week number two. Denver fits the description. We just talked about them. Sunday Night Football sees a very, very similar line with the Green Bay Packers hosting the Chicago Bears. The Packers, 9.5-point favorites. I say similar instead of the same because this number's bounced around. So maybe perhaps this could look a little differently. Plus, things always change depending perhaps where you're shopping. Low total, 41.5. The Packers last week, DRS, not so hot, right? The offense, really a big question. The Bears, they went outright as a 6.5-point home underdog against the San Francisco 49ers in the monsoon. Do you think this is a bounce-back spot for Aaron Rodgers and his Green Bay Packers?
I mean, there's only one way to bounce, and that's up. They can't bounce any lower from what we saw from them from the Minnesota Vikings in week one with, you know, young rookie wide receivers catching easy 80-yard touchdown passes that turned into nothing because they just dropped them. And Aaron Rodgers taking the podium at the end of the game saying, hey, you know, what do you want me to do? It's rookie wide receivers. We got to live with this stuff here. Well, what you could do is probably get some veteran wide receivers in there and keep superstars like Devontae Adams home. But that's look. That's in the past. You can't worry about that here in 2022. But my question for the Bears is, was that really a mirage of opening day where the conditions were so bad and you made just enough plays there and the other team didn't really play all that well, talking about the 49ers, and you won at home. Congratulations, 1-0. But the weather, wind, rain, snow, whatever, that's not going to help you out this weekend for Justin Fields and that Bears offense. You are going to have to perform because the one thing that we do know, even though you did face a pretty good defense last week in the San Francisco 49ers, Packers also have some very talented front seven and some really good defensive backs. So that's going to really stress Chicago and what they have to do on offense because coming into the season, we look at the Justin Fields props, passing yards and touchdown passes. They're low for a reason because they're not that talented. So for me, if I'm looking at this game, as much as I am a Packer hater this year, I would be very surprised if we're watching in the fourth quarter, Kevin, a game that's within a touchdown margin. Now you say, Donnie, boy, you said earlier in the week you would like to take the Chicago Bears at 9.5. Well, yeah, I mean, there's still a chance in the fourth quarter. You're down 14 points. You could sneak in a late touchdown to get the cover, but not really threaten the game itself. My goodness, Kevin, if we watch this game on Sunday Night Football and the Bears have a 10-7 lead in the third quarter, I don't know what is going to happen for the rest of the season in Green Bay, because I've said it multiple times. Green Bay is not nearly as talented as they were in the past, particularly at the wide receiver position, which will hurt them. But this schedule is easy. But as we talk about, you know, quite like the Mets, hey, finally, get on your way here. Beat some of these bad teams. If you're struggling being Green Bay with Chicago at home, there's going to be real issues this year with Green Bay for me.
I definitely think there can be some concern here if we walk away with a 2-0 Chicago Bears team. The question remains, though, will the tackles play? Will Allen Lazard play? I think it looks like Lazard is going to play. I don't know, and I'm not, like, does Bakhtiari retire before he ever plays football again at this rate, honestly? My man has been questionable for 2 years. Right. So, and he practiced Wednesday limited and then did not practice yesterday. Part. Right. So it's very, right. Like, it's so bizarre to try and follow this situation right now. With that said, I think we're seeing a real low point for this total at 41.5 here. The Green Bay Packers offense, right. You have to know the narrative now for this football team is to prove that they can move the ball. It's the most important thing about this game is they have to be able to move the ball, the Green Bay Packers, and put up points. And on the other end of it for the Chicago Bears, who, by the way, that's not a defense that we've been all threatened by. And I've said I'm giving Trey Lance and that team a pass for playing in a monsoon. Well, Donnie, similar marks would apply to the Chicago Bears. It's not like the Bears were out there playing in fantastic conditions. Still found 19 points in the game. I look at 41.5 as a number that's just really low, and it doesn't give either team any credit, I think, in one, for the Bears for what they were able to do in week one, and two, for the Packers in who they have been truly throughout Aaron Rodgers' tenure. Don, you cannot tell me that if Rodgers leads his team to 31 points, you'd be stunned, right? It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Sunday Night Football. It's the Chicago Bears. Of course, I'm not telling you, like, oh, they're clearly going to score 30, but this number indicates that that's not even in the realm of possibility, which I can't agree with.
You know, it's also, you know, watching from the week one games, right? The narrative, because sometimes we just look at box scores. And I don't even mean going through the statistics, just what was the final score, who scored touchdowns, and what did the quarterbacks do? But as I said, the Green Bay Packers do have a very good defense. They give up almost 400 yards of offense to the Minnesota Vikings. Now, obviously, Kevin, we can't compare the Minnesota Vikings offense to the Chicago Bears offense. That wouldn't be fair. But if you remember the game last week in the monsoon, Bears versus the 49ers, the narrative was always on, like, hey, the San Francisco 49ers stink on offense. They can't do anything. Well, they actually had 331 yards against the Chicago Bears, only posted 204 yards. So for one of those games where you can't move the football and it felt like 3 yards in a cloud of dust, San Francisco actually did some things here against Chicago in that terrible weather. So you're feeling, this seems like the perfect, like, sometimes things line up for you, right? If you're Green Bay, you get embarrassed week one. You don't want to come back and have the Chiefs on the road and say, well, our offense isn't ready to go. How can we compete with Patrick Mahomes? It almost seems like, let's go out and get our confidence in this game, because no matter what we do, we're not so sure Chicago can hit that 20-point margin, which means we're always going to be in this game regardless. So it's a really good opponent for Green Bay if you're going to pick anyone for week two.
Yeah, so let's move over then to the Niners, the Bears' opponent and who they lost to. And it's another big number, right? The San Francisco 49ers against the Seattle Seahawks lay 8.5, very low total at 41.5. So I'm looking around right now, no yardage props up at the moment, but I saw Trey Lance, looks like he's going to be listed at underneath 200 passing yards again. We're going to do our pick six, hour number two. I was going to write Trey Lance passing prop, and let's move and let's get after it. They're in a potential monsoon again. The forecast is it's going to rain the entire football game here. Donnie, I don't know what to do with that. I actually think the Seahawks then are probably the play. It's probably going to be a lot of running in the game. If Seattle by chance gets up at all, we know they're going to hand the ball off to Rashad Penny 1,000 times and make sure the Niners are in it the whole way. I do think the Niners will win this game. And similarly, if the Niners get up, they're not. I don't think because of the weather, they're going to be in a position of like, hey, pour it on, hanging on them, keep throwing midway through the third quarter. I think they are also going to turn to the run here in this football game. I think the Niners win this game, but I think the Seahawks, with the weather and all things considered, low total here, 41.5, plus the 8.5, I think the Seahawks are the right bet.
It could be. It really could be. But also, you have to take a look, right? Short rest here. You know, you had a huge emotional win. As much as Pete Carroll's going to say on to next week, he probably built up a lot. And what did you hear all offseason? It wasn't like, hey, guys, week two, we got to make sure we're ready for the 49ers. It was no. Russell Wilson's coming home to the Pacific Northwest. Let's make sure we handle our business. And they did. They brought a lot of old-time players back. I'm not talking about like guys that played there in the 80s, guys that played along with Russell Wilson just to bring back to see how that would do and the emotions in the room. Now, looking forward to this game, you're right. There is some rain in the forecast. Looks like all the way through, we're not going to get those. It doesn't look like the monsoon conditions. But as you're going to find out in the pick six, you know, you'll find a lot about the way I like to bet in the seasons, particularly early in. What was my, you know, beating the drum last week? Forget about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and how bad they were and what their prognosis on the season is going to be. But also, take a look at Trey Lance. He thinks he can't play. Well, the pick six contest, I think this is a wonderful spot for Trey Lance. As you were trying to take a look and say, what about his passing yards? I'm looking more towards his legs here because when the pressure's on, they're facing a defense that isn't very good for me in Seattle. So this is one of those games that Trey Lance should have as a good one. But also, talk about bad luck, right? I just talked about the Green Bay Packers coming home to take on the Bears. Perfect opponent. That's where you want to get right. Trey Lance at home against Seattle. Perfect situation. Hey, buddy, let's throw another monsoon possibility in if that ends up being there as the, you know, precipitation forecast in San Francisco. What a terrible look there, but I do think you're going to be much better at the quarterback position or better equipped here as long as it's not a monsoon. I think they roll Seattle, but I think you're correct by taking a look at this game going, now, if the weather conditions are bad, I'm getting over a touchdown from a team that did show they were competent in week one. I can't fight you on that, Kevin.
Yeah, understandable. It's going to be a really fun game, though, to watch play out. It's a must-win for the San Francisco 49ers. But the reality is, as we're now finishing up, this will be the last NFC West team we have to talk about with the Rams. Seattle's the only one that won in week number one. The Rams need this as badly as the rest of the teams we've talked about here up against the Atlanta Falcons. But this number's continue to fall. Now down to 9.5. I think it's gone too far. I really do. I think the loss, the Falcons were supposed to be one of the three worst teams in the NFL. And I think they're getting a lot of credit for hanging with the Saints, which they deserve. And they were my money line dog. Maybe I'm a little bothered the fact that they did not actually cross the finish line of the game. But I think the Rams should be above double digits here. Extra rest heading into the game, right? Now, McVay does not have some unbelievable ATS tickets when having a rest advantage, but I don't think it can hurt in this spot. And ultimately, I just think that unless you're out on Matthew Stafford, unless you're out on this football team, they are 10 points better at home to me than the Atlanta Falcons. I think Cooper Kupp's in for it. Cooper Kupp's yardage prop, not out at the moment, should be north of 100, 105.5. He's going to do whatever he wants. He's like minus 180 to score a touchdown here. I think the Rams defense is going to turn the Falcons over multiple times in the game as well. I think the Rams are the right side at 9.5.
Yeah, I'll keep it simple on this one, too. And also, you take a look at the rest advantage. You have that mini bye built in from playing in the first game of week one, which was the Thursday night game. You also have the Atlanta Falcons had a tough game at home and have to fly 3,000 miles to take on the Rams. So that's certainly not going in your direction. You would figure that Matthew Stafford and this team is going to be like, ooh, all right, nice little opponent here. The Buffalo Bills, who are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, we get them week one. We don't perform well. Let's get back and make those corrections. And also, Sean McVay yelling at his team post-game before they met with the press. You know that's going to feed into it. This is going to be an angry, hungry team here, Kevin. Maybe take a look at a first half number here for the Rams. You don't have to worry about that backdoor cover. The Rams should be up a touchdown in this game in the first half, Kevin, and cover that.
Yeah, and just by the way, doing some looking arounds here, it's going to be interesting to see how they book this Rams backfield. Really interesting stuff. We'll be right back. More breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL Week 2 preview continues right here on the early line. And the Cowboys and the Bengals have a really fascinating game that I have to admit I found myself going back and forth on. And the line has moved a bit as well. This was initially, well, before the Dak injury news, the look-ahead line had Dallas as a very short favorite. Then the Dak injury news came out, and we had a 6.5-point spread in favor of Cincinnati. Now it is above a touchdown. 7.5, low total, 41.5. What do you think here, Dallas versus Cincinnati? No Dak Prescott.
I got to tell you, and you put yourself right in the crosshairs here of week two, where you never truly know. Well, now you really don't know. Dak Prescott's not going to be the starting quarterback. We're trying to extrapolate if Cooper Rush is going to be that same quarterback that went on the road last year, Kevin, to beat the Minnesota Vikings. We don't know if that's going to be the case here. We don't know if Dallas is dead and buried, because that Dallas team last year, at least on offense, from my perspective, was much more talented, particularly at the wide receiver position. But also, taking a look at Cincinnati, I know you like to use these terms too. Like, well, we don't know if just going to sweep some of these turnovers under the rug here for Cincinnati, where they go from 5 turnovers to no turnovers and dominate the Dallas Cowboys. I have to tell you right now, like, it seems like the season is on the line, because the 0-2 number is so huge in the NFL, where if you go 0-2, the chances of you making the playoffs with your percentages go way, way down. Both of these teams, Kevin, entering into the situation 0-1. The Dallas Cowboys also, when you take a look at it, think about this. Where's your usual biggest advantage? Playing home games. You can tell me Dallas can open the season 0-2 at home with only 6 or 7. I don't even know if it's 7 home games, because that you know, 17th game. But 2 games that you burn at home going 0-2. I can't imagine, though, if you're just saying to yourself, Donnie, many times in the NFL, if you just pick the winner of the football game, they're probably going to cover the spread. I do think Cincinnati wins this game, but I got to tell you, it's one of those that's tugging at me saying, man, I could see a closer game here in the second half. I don't want to write off the Dallas Cowboys just yet, as their season's going to be over. And this is a road game for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm feeling the 7.5. I'm feeling taking the 7.5 today. I am.
So this has been a really bizarre spread for me personally. Because in what world, Donnie, do you like a team to cover at 6.5, the line goes to 7.5, and now you're interested in laying the number?
Yes.
But that's how this has traveled
Wild.
For me. Because
Wild.
Initially my thought was, you know, the movement for Dak, and look, Dak obviously is significantly better than Cooper Rush, right? But we have now seen this go well above a touchdown for a single player, which might have been a lot. But you and I have talked about this on the radio side as well. The idea of it's not just an adjustment based on Dak's absence, but how awful the Cowboys looked even while Dak was around. And they were terrible versus Tampa Bay. Cincinnati's offense, now it was against Trubisky, or defense rather, was fine in week number one. The issue that I'm having with taking the 7.5 points with the Cowboys, Donnie, is what's the number the Bengals can score where you turn the TV off? Well, they're never getting that, right? Like, if I told you that the Bengals get to 28 points, do you really think Dallas can get to 21? I don't trust that. The thing for me, though, is Cooper Rush last year in his spot start did put up 20 on the road, threw for 325 yards, multiple touchdowns, 8.5 yards per pass. I don't want to go back and forth on the side like this. I think it's very likely I end up on the team total of 24.5 for the Bengals over the number. Last year, we saw Cincinnati pummel some teams when the opportunity provided, slip well over the 30 mark, and I think that chance should be here. I think that's how this team looks to get right. And we saw, Donnie, last week, really against a very good Pittsburgh defense, the problem was turnovers. They were able to move the football, but again, Burrow kept turning it over. If you clean that up, they should be able to score at least 4 touchdowns here, I think, against Dallas.
And you know, it's another part where we're picking on some of these offenses that we don't think are going to play very well, particularly the Dallas Cowboys. Do you know their team total is 16.5 in this game, which means 17 points at home for the Cowboys. They cover this. That tells you how bad they were week one, and also for the majority of that football game with Dak Prescott. Now you move over to Rush, and also take a look last week, because I think what's lost in a lot of things is over the offseason, you're taking a look at the Bengals. They're pretty talented offensively and defensively as well. Why is that important? You saw Mitchell Trubisky in the Pittsburgh Steelers. You almost want to say to yourself, like, are the Steelers actually a higher powered offense even with Mitchell Trubisky? Because at least they have some wide receivers and some running backs you can have some fun with. Because looking at that game, it went to overtime, Kevin, which means you had almost an extra 10 minutes in that football game. The Cincinnati Bengals defense, they only gave up 267 yards to the Steelers, including overtime. So if we're just anticipating the Dallas Cowboys come, hey, I trust Cooper Rush, he's going to have a good performance. It's not if the Bengals went out last week and gave up 500 yards to Mitchell Trubisky in Pittsburgh, where you're saying to yourself, hey, Dallas could probably move the football against this defense. This might be one of those slow down games, which we take a look at that under, which is low, but even lower now looking at that team total for the Cowboys at 16.5. They're probably going to struggle here on offense.
Yeah, it's likely. Again, could they find 21 points? They could. But again, they also still, that's why, because I'm interested in the total. It's super low at 41.5, but I don't want to deal with 28-7, which would it really shock you? No. So again, it's probably going to be that Cincinnati team total. Some people would say Ravens-Dolphins is game of the week this week. It's not ours, but it has an argument, I think. And Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens are a 3.5-point home favorite here against the Miami Dolphins. The total's 44.5. You were telling me yesterday, though, injuries. The injury report for this game jumping off the page to you as much as any.
Yeah, it really is. The secondary here for the Baltimore Ravens really banged up and injured. And if things don't go the right way and guys don't heal, Kevin, from yesterday to today to Saturday and to Sunday, you're looking at being down a few starters in that secondary. And you usually can say to yourself, okay, Ravens, they can probably make up for it. It's hard when you go against a team with elite wide receivers. And I'm not talking about, last week they both didn't go over 100 yards. I'm talking at any moment these guys can explode. And if you're down in the secondary, you don't want to face Tyreek. You don't want to go up against Jalen Waddle. You really don't want to do that to yourself here. So let's just see what Tua can do. Now, having said that, it's still going to be hard to win on the road. This is a Miami Dolphins team that's sort of coming into its own, where we expect big things from them, which means games like this, there are no measuring sticks where if you come up a little bit short, Kevin, lose by 3 points, hey, man, Dolphins really showed out well in Baltimore. They're expected to win this football game. So if we're trying to take a look at some of the things that make some sense here, the matchups that make some sense, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. He's going to have to be Hercules again in this football game for me if they want to win. Well, Donnie, why aren't the Miami Dolphins favored in this game? As I just told you, it's so hard to win on the road. Baltimore's got a great pedigree for being home. Mm-hmm. Baltimore didn't show you anything in week one that says, oh, man, those wide receivers are really bad. They didn't sign anybody else up. Their running game looks a little bit light. No, it's still Lamar Jackson, and when he's healthy, they're still a capable opponent. But I do have the Baltimore Ravens this week, Kevin, on upset alert, and I'm not going to be surprised if the Miami Dolphins go in there and win. And also, as you pointed out, no better time to get that Ravens secondary if they could be down as many as three starters in that secondary alone going up here against McDaniel's offense.
The injury report early season has felt, you would expect, like, yeah, it's week two, everyone's healthy, right? It's not been the case here in a couple different spots. And Miami has some question marks. Now, Teron Armstead, their left tackle, did practice, puts him in a good pace, but Austin Jackson, their right tackle, did not practice and is not on a good pace there. But what's interesting to me, Donnie, 59 pass attempts last week for Joe Flacco. He was sacked three times by the Baltimore Ravens, right? So, I mean, again, 60-plus dropbacks, immobile Flacco. I thought they would have probably been able to get there a couple more times. If Teron Armstead's out there, I agree with you. I think there is a world where Miami is live in this game. I feel like things do point towards an under, though. Again, the Dolphins' offense last week, right, the touchdown thrown by Tua was the fourth down conversion and then a defensive touchdown. And Baltimore was pretty slow-paced last week up against their New York Jets. And while, again, we talk about some secondary issues, I think you're going to need explosive plays from probably specifically Tyreek Hill. I would be really interested in his props if we do see that secondary miss so many pieces as you're referencing. Joe Flacco last week, a gang of attempts. Could it be a similar situation here against the Cleveland Browns? The Jets are catching 6.5 points in Cleveland. Very low total at 39.5. I want to bet on some Flacco props here because of just how many times he threw in week number one. But I'm wondering, Nani, if he could be benched by Mike White in this football game. Tough spot for me here between Cleveland and the Jets.
It is a tough spot, but I have to tell you here, you know, and again, when you're not watching the games, which week one, sometimes you're playing a lot of catch up because it's like, I saw these guys play in the preseason. We haven't seen very many of these players play extended periods of time in the preseason. You're just going on what some of the beat writers have to say. But looking at the Jets game versus the Baltimore Ravens, it actually wasn't as bad as that final score would indicate. If I would have told you the Jets actually outgained the Baltimore Ravens by over 100 yards in the previous week, you'd say, okay, maybe a little bit eye-opening. I do think the Jets have a talented roster outside of their quarterback. But I know you're talking about, you know, Mike White versus Joe Flacco. I would still keep in the veteran in this game just because he's been around the block a little bit more. He did play opening week. It wasn't as if he just handed the ball off and threw 14 passes. He got a little bit of lubrication on that arm there, dropping back so many times. But my question here is not so much from the New York Jets, because I do think they're decently talented on defense as well. It's what am I actually getting out of the Cleveland Browns offense? Because if you saw last week, the MO, and I do think this is the correct way to play this out, have Jacoby Brissett just be a game manager, lean on your ultra-talented running backs and your explosive pass rush, and see if you can stem that tide until Deshaun Watson gets back. So having said that, if you're close to a touchdown favorite here, I can't take the Cleveland Browns, Kevin, because at no time in this game do I feel like if they're up 7 or 10 points that they're trying to extend the lead as opposed to just running the clock out and getting away with a victory here. That's my issue. So again, if you're looking at late in the game, you shouldn't be handicapping like this, but sometimes it's not that bad to do early in the season. What do you think if the Jets are down 10 points or 14 points? Can Joe Flacco lead them down on a scoring drive? I do think he can, because as I said, my point is 14-0 first quarter, the Browns are going to hand the football off the rest of the way. They're not going to be Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs looking to extend that lead and be up 35-3 by halftime. That's the way I'm playing this out. I'm taking the points with the Jets this weekend over Cleveland.
And to your point, the Jets did have one touchdown drive, but beyond that, they had four other drives that went into the Baltimore Ravens 30-yard line that resulted in three total points. Turnover on downs, a fumble, a missed field goal, and then ultimately one made field goal there. So I think you're right. They did leave a lot of points on the board. And let's say, again, I can't tell you Cleveland deserved to lose in week one, but is this line, to your credit, 4.5 if Cade York doesn't make the field goal? Maybe, right? So yeah. I think you make a decent point there on some value. We're going to do the Steelers and the Pats, and part of the reason I don't mind doing this a little quickly is, one, I feel like there's still so many question marks about Mac Jones now dealing with a stomach bug there, which is going to make this tough to get the perfect read on here, even on a Friday as deep into the game. But I will say this, Donnie, all of the numbers have remained strong on New England, now a 2.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, this game has everybody scratching their head, and I love this because when I read that line, that's a stone-cold line for the New England Patriots here that we're expecting them to go into Pittsburgh win. You say to yourself, well, how is that possible? How bad they play? They didn't play all that bad on defense last week, so we might be in for a lower-scoring tilt where you lean on Bill Belichick that he has all the right mojo to pull out this victory. But it's going to be one, if you want to take a nap in the afternoon, you didn't bet that game, it's probably the game to take a nap to here. Offense.
Here's the deal. You're right. It's a stone cold New England line. Early week, I thought New England as well. But now we've got Tomlin as a firm home dog, which is not a great spot to be fading. Mike Tomlin. Baseball. Yep, baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid. Look, obviously football dominates, but we like to give you an opportunity to attack elsewhere. Yesterday, KW Soccer Player of the Day, Cristiano Ronaldo, anytime goal scorer, steps up to the penalty spot, minus 160, all good, worth the juice, cash is the ticket. And Donnie will tell you, nothing more difficult than maybe all of sports than to score from the penalty spot. But I'll tell you what's not difficult, finding some value on the baseball board. From my man DRS, your MLB Player of the Day, give it to the people.
Yeah, as long as we don't get Dre Jameson today, like the San Diego Padres did yesterday, breaking my streak of three consecutive wins, we're going to get back to it today. Instead of taking a team total, Kevin, I'm going to take an over, and that's going to be between the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals. We're projecting this one here to be at 8, and a heavy favorite here, by the way, for the St. Louis Cardinals, and rightfully so. Now, there's two pitchers. The reason why we don't have, you know, odds all over the place, particularly right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we don't know if it's going to be Espinal or if it's going to be Dunn. Either way, both of these pitchers aren't very good. Now, the funny thing is here is Espinal is a minor league pitcher who they're going to bring up, who's gotten rocked in the minor league system, similar to Dre Jameson, who threw a 7-inning shutout against the Padres, who were fighting for their playoff lives. So go figure. But if we're just looking simplicity here, you take a look at that St. Louis offense going up against a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, at least 8 of the 9 batters tonight, their weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitchers are positive. That is sensational. But if we're lining up the Cincinnati Reds, Flaherty's been bad over the past 30 days, xFIP wise, 5.87, low strikeouts here, 398 weighted on base percentage to lefties, 410 to righties. We're going to take the over 8 between Cincinnati and St. Louis and cash this ticket in on a Friday night.
A couple key spots to look at that, on this board, but one involves a minus 390 favorite for the Astros against the Athletics. Verlander is back. He lost his favorite status to win the AL Cy Young, but is back now at minus 135. Against the Athletics, if he's dominant, that could be minus 200 by the time that game is over. Some other key series to keep your eye on: the Brewers host the Yankees, the Braves host the Phillies, and the Guardians host the Minnesota Twins, with that AL Central race still ongoing. We're giving you the game of the week to start hour number 2 next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.